I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
What are we up to?
The podcast!
Oh.
Stop looking at cornettos.
Listen, you've given it away now, Sarah. Something we're working on for tomorrow.
Well, while we work on something for tomorrow, here's today's show.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
There is absolutely nothing worse than when something terribly mortifying happens to you and there are witnesses around. Now, Scott, that little evil laugh, you and I know where this was going. Yesterday after the show, we wandered down the street to our favourite little work cafe and we sat down and ordered our skinny flat whites.
Banana breads.
Our banana breads, our Vegemite toast, and we perused the paper and we're having good old chats about anything and everything. Next minute, Lise's head bursts in an upward motion like a meerkat. And she stares out the window at a group of four firemen in uniform walking towards us. Yeah. Next thing, Scott and I see Lisa's hand go up and she says, "Oh, there are the boys." And then they looked at her blankly, ignored her very awkwardly, and walked forth.
Listen, I didn't know all four of them. I knew one of them. And in fact, I know one of them very well, so I'm very upset with him. He keeps his pigging quad in my shed, okay? All right?
And you hang around with excellent people.
When he looked at you blankly.
He looked at, because it was out of context. He's not used to seeing me in the big smoke in my workout gear with two losers. He's used to seeing me in my home on Acreage with my husband. So he didn't look through that cafe window and go, "Oh, that's Lise." He just went, "I don't know that person," because there was no
the look on his
cord.
Face was, "I don't want to acknowledge that person."
No,
that
Sarah.
That was it. Scott and I saw it and we did what any good friends would do, immediately burst out laughing.
We wanted you to go and talk to them and you wouldn't. Because
and you
did
refer
to them.
They're the boys. They're Dane's mates. Just because your husband, Dane, is a firefighter.
Well, that's right. They
all
know each other.
Here's the thing. Just because your husband's in the industry doesn't mean you know
industry,
every Tom,
Sarah.
Dick and Harry in a
it's
fireman
not an
uniform.
It's a vocation. They're the brethren. Okay? They're the brethren. And by default, I am part of that. Okay? It's like a family. Okay? And just because he denied me in public, don't you worry. His pigging quad is out.
There's one more thing we need to unpack. It's the way you said it's the boys, like Sarah and I wouldn't understand.
I mean, it was
like
boys with a Z.
I've got to acknowledge my crew. Just a real shame they didn't acknowledge you, isn't it?
Well, you know what? You know what they say?
What?
You wouldn't know because you're not part of the brethren. So, I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not even going to tell you because only we know. So, there you go.
I don't know how your husband copes being married to you when you whip out sayings that don't exist all the time. I mean, that has never been on a fortune cookie.
He knows what they say.
I mean, look, just admit you were blanked.
I was totally blanked.
You,
and it won't go unnoticed, Sarah. I'm telling you, the free rent for the pigging quad is done.
So did your husband Dane jump to your defence last night and say, "How dare he?"
No, he just shook his head at me and said, "Oh, Lise, you didn't, did you?"
I mean, if that's not the most telling thing about that whole conversation and incident.
Because the brethren,
so what,
Dane understands. I know.
You want me to be rude.
You know, an unspoken rule of the brethren is you don't talk about the brethren when you're not around them.
Listen, do you want me to be rude and just like
that would have been a better outcome yesterday.
Like me too, like stare at your bloody coffee and you stuff your face with banana bread. It's not a serving of fruit, Scott.
Whatever.
You and I can have our own brethren today, Scott.
Have a great weekend, guys.
What?
It's true,
mate, it's been a long Monday, an even longer Tuesday at 6 a.m.
That's how it feels working with you guys sometimes, you know? You age me by bloody 4 days. That's where I'm at. Sarah, I stumbled across a really interesting opinion piece online just the other day, and the timing of it was actually perfect because the piece centred around the mandatory participation of children in swimming carnivals, cross-country festivals, athletics carnivals and what have you, that are really happening around the country in our schools right now. I mean, both my boys have their swimming carnival 2 weeks away, cross-country's 3 weeks away. It's all happening within the next month. So I'd love to open the phones up on 13 10 60 and have a chat with our listeners about this idea of whether or not we should be forcing our kids to take part in sporting, in the sporting arena when they may or may not be great at it. The argument being that children who are academic have every day of the week to show off that prowess in the classroom. Kids who may not be academically inclined wait all year to shine in the sporting arena, whether it be the pool or the field, and they should have that. And to say that, you know, I mean, would you make your kids participate? I know where I stand on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, for me, you don't have to win. You don't have to be the best at something, but you have to give it a go.
That's right.
As somebody who, if I reflect back on my own sporting career, which was non-existent, it included things like in grade 11 being lapped by the grade 9s in cross country, never, ever, ever winning a medal, often coming towards the back end of races. I mean, I still had a go. I can look back now and laugh. Yes, I was nervous. No, I didn't like doing it. But my memories of sporting carnivals are of team spirit and war cries and cheering on the kids who were good at that. I don't.
So the argument is that it can be incredibly humiliating for children who are forced to get down to their bathers or their sports gear and participate in something that they're really, really terrible at. The argument online that I was reading was that, you know, do we make the sporty kids stand up in front of the whole school in a spelling bee when they can't spell very well? I disagree. I'm with you on this one. I think that it's about teaching our children that you cannot be good at everything. It's about giving them a growth mindset that, you know, this might be hard for you today, but suck it up, because if you're not good at doing a 50-meter freestyle, you know what you can be good at? Cheering your friend who is.
Absolutely.
Be at the end of that 50-meter pool and encourage them. Or if you're coming last, someone's got to come last, and that's
okay. Absolutely. My eldest daughter, is nearly 8, and her first school swimming carnival is coming up in a couple of weeks. And she said, "I don't want to do it, Mum. You know, what if I come last?" And I'd said to her, "Well, better you come last and be able to handle that than maybe a kid who would feel terrible about themselves if they came last." Because coming last in a school sports carnival is not the worst thing in the world by any stretch. Scotty, what about you with school sport?
Well, we actually moved ours to a public holiday. The school moved our big athletics carnival to a public holiday. And I think what's really interesting is the kids that didn't show up weren't the academically inclined, you know, didn't like sport kids. It was actually the kids in the middle. So the academically inclined kids often still showed up and participated and were part of it, even if they were really terrible at sport. But I found it was just the kids who were like, "I just don't want to participate."
Or, "I just don't care." Let's put this to the phones, shall we? And let's see what people... It would be interesting to get different points of view on this. Perhaps you were a child and you remember that acutely. You remember how horrible it felt to front up at a swim carnival. Or maybe you're a parent that shares our opinion. 13 10 60, what are your thoughts on the mandatory participation of kids at swimming carnivals, cross-country carnivals, what have you? I'm of the belief that it's not about the sport. It's about being a contributor, not being a sideliner. Being someone that has a go, even if you're not great at it.
Absolutely.
Or being a supporter of those that do shine on that day. The kids that are super sporty, who might be struggling Monday to Friday in the classroom and who aren't the best.
Yeah.
Every single day in the classroom. Let's just show up and show our support.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Also about challenging yourself and building resilience.
Oh, I mean, I was as a total loser when I was at sports carnivals. I remember feeling that temporary awkwardness and nervousness around doing your race. But overall, good memories. Chris on 131060, should kids have to participate in their school sports events?
Hey guys, look, I've got a bit of an opinion of take them to the carnivals, absolutely, let them be there to cheer on and get the morale up. But for me as a young'un, I remember back in the day, I was a bit of an overweight kid, so sitting there in my skivvies on the side of a pool, which for me was not ideal. It's sort of a mixed emotion for me in that sense.
Well, Chris, we've heard of swimming carnivals nowadays that actually have novelty events so that kids who are maybe non-swimmers, if they jump in the pool, they still get a point for their house team, or they do pool noodle races.
Or belly flop competition, so that it encourages that inclusive nature of sporting. Chris, were you bullied at all during sports events? Because they're saying that PE and phys ed and sport carnivals are a hotbed, thank you, for bullying. Did you experience any of that?
Oh, look, I experienced it all the way through from kindergarten through to the end of my years, so unfortunately, yes, but not too sure where to really go with that.
So what you're saying, Chris, is make the attendance mandatory so that they can cheer everyone on, but you don't have to get in the pool. Would that have helped for you?
Yeah, look, just the morale, I think, is the biggest thing. Don't force them to really jump in, but, just morale, be there, cheer them up.
Be a team player. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Alex on 131060. Should kids have to participate in their school sports events?
I'm on the same page as the other guy. I show up. Yeah, all for it. But they shouldn't have to participate if they don't want to. I was one of those sporty kids at school that, only shone with the sports events and didn't shine anywhere else at school. So those few days a year where I got cheered on or, acknowledged for once at school was really, it actually massively helped me because I didn't get it anywhere else at school. So, coming from that perspective, I really enjoyed sports events purely because, people actually acknowledged me and thought, oh, my God, there's actually someone there.
That's a really interesting perspective, Alex, that your experience at school was different, even though you were the sporty kid. Yeah, that is really interesting.
Michael on 131060, kids and mandatory participation in school sporting events. What are your thoughts?
Hello, ladies. I love your show as well. Loved
Thank
it.
You.
Love,
Thanks,
love
Michael.
Look, I've been taught by my primary school principal, you should have a go no matter what your abilities and support each other no matter if whatever your strength or weakness is as well. I was always an overweight kid, a beast kid as well. I've always had a crack at athletics carnivals, swimming carnivals, no matter if I was the best, always came at the back of the pack as well. But I think supporting each other on the
sidelines
is key as well with your house because everyone plays a part in a sporting event no matter what your sporting ability is as well. So I've got my own journey as well. I mean, I've been an overweight kid. Came the back of the pack with athletics, swimming car as well.
Michael, how were you made to feel comfortable and how were you given permission to be yourself during those carnival days? Were you leading the cheer squad? Were the teachers encouraging you to do the novelty races? Talk us through that.
Yeah, so I came from two great schools, from Southern Shire and Kirui Primary, Kirui High School. So we had novelty events that everyone was divided into houses, number if it's alphabetical or years or whatever as well. I think everyone played a part supporting the mat. And also I think there was things like, who dressed up the best?
Loved those.
Like, everyone got a point for everything, as well, no matter what it is. And also, I think another thing as well, turning up is key. And also what I've learned over the years, especially with my fitness groups as well, the biggest and bravest thing you can do is hit the enter registration button and turning up and towing the line.
Absolutely. And I think it's kids realizing, you know, in learning what their strengths and weaknesses are, it's learning what you're not necessarily the greatest in the world at and being okay with that.
Yeah,
that's okay.
That's a huge learning
curve. Amy on 131060, round us out here. Kids and school sport events, should they have to do it?
Yeah, look, Michael actually said it really perfectly, and I'm a PE teacher, so it's really down to the school, and if they do a good job at pitching that event to everybody and making everybody feel included, mm-hmm. and, you know, that it's an event to teach them about resilience and teamwork and all of those things, then, you know, the kids who are going to be competitive, they move on to those things where they can compete against kids from other schools. So, you know, they're going to shine and do well and move on. But the event itself, when you do it with your own school, is really just about everybody coming and having a go and having fun. You get into your houses, they do cheers, and it's just a great day out for everybody to have a good time. And, you know, the competitive kids will be competitive, and that's okay. And then they can move on and compete against those other schools when they do the regionals.
So it's really about creating a really safe and fun environment for every type of child. Our executive producer was telling this amazing story of when he was in high school, at the end of each swimming carnival, the big main event was the belly flop competition. Not only did that celebrate the kids who were amazing at belly flops because of possibly their size or just their character, but it also involved the kids writing a story, a tale
that ended in a belly flop, and and the crowds went wild. And
so it celebrated the kids who were creative, who could write stories well, who could act, who could belly flop.
Yeah.
And what a great way to bring everyone together.
I mean, look,
together.
I had none of that in my sports carnivals back in the day, and I still had a good time despite being absolutely terrible at sport with undiagnosed asthma, may I add. Like, what a dork.
This girl can war cry with the best of them. I tell you what.
Don't mess with the best, because
you're listening to Those Two Girls.
Right now, we need to talk about how German people love to party.
I'm just going to put it out there. What? Germans are loose. They are, Sarah. They are just, their sense of self is odd, you know, and I love them for it. But when you get 2,619 Germans dressed as Smurfs, mm-hmm. you've got to question where they're at.
This?
Here we go.
That's the sound of our childhood right there. Well, I'll tell you what's happened. In Lochringen, Germany, there's been a world record set for the largest group of people dressed as Smurfs, or as the Germans call them, Da Schlumpf.
I mean, Schlumpf makes me so happy. Say it again.
Da Schlumpf.
Okay, so they had, in order for them to beat the Guinness World Records, they had to beat the standing record of 2,510 people, which was set in the UK back in 2009. Now, there were very strict rules, Sarah. They had to be painted in blue, no normal skin colour poking through.
Mm-hmm.
The largest organ of the body, the skin, had to be blue, okay? They also could dress as Smurfette, a normal Smurf, or Papa Smurf.
There was one character that was out, though, wasn't there?
Off limits, Gargamel. They said no to Gargamel. Let's not even bring Azrael into it.
Achtung! I learned that off Crocodile Signs in the North Queensland River Districts.
It means warning.
Yeah.
I learned that from the printer right down the back. I opened it up once and it said Achtung.
Yeah, warning or
attention. It's such a powerful
attention.
Word. If you could just bring it into day-to-day life in Oz. Achtung! It's such a guttural sound.
Incredible. The photos are magnificent. I mean, how much effort would it take? Who shows up to these things? That's like that eye-gazing festival you wanted to go to.
I wanted you to come to the Kate Bush Wuthering Heights Day with me where you get hundreds of people dressed in red and they learn the choreography to that song, Heathcliff, it's Kathy, I've come home, and you wouldn't do it.
I
did take my daughters along to it. Anyway, that night on the news, my husband, Wills, was like, oh, Who would go? What losers would go to those kind of events? I was like, here's a photo of me with our children. And he was like, Achtung.
I am tired. I'm going to just put it out there. I am tired but happy. My heart is full because last night I stayed up to watch the comeback of Dancing with the Stars, yep. Sarah. Last time it was on our screens was 2015.
Mm-hmm. You and me both. We were messaging each other throughout it.
Mostly about Jet Kenny.
When we were going to call it quits and go to bed, and that was promptly after Jet Kenny danced.
I mean, what a specimen.
I would say he's the best-looking fellow in Australia, and he seems really sweet as well. He seems like a nice kid.
He does. Don't call him a kid. Don't. He's a grown man. Don't call him a kid. You know what I love about this show? And you know that I'm not a dancer. I wish I was.
I mean,
but my parents put me in tennis instead of dancing. They didn't want me to dance. And I harbour a lot of resentment that way because I don't really know how to move. What I love about this show is that this group of celebrities, they're people that know how to have fun, obviously.
Yeah, they mickey out of themselves.
Who can
Denise
have a
Scott,
laugh.
What a legend.
But, you know, they can have a laugh. Miguel. I mean, it is hard.
I knew you would take it to Miguel. Lise has a massive crush on Miguel.
No, I think you'll find that Miguel bull. Might have.
No, Lise.
I mean, as Europeans.
You can't say that on other people's behalf.
Sarah. As Europeans, there's a connection, an undeniable connection.
This is because about two or three years ago, we were at a food event and Miguel was there and Lee's, you know, locked eyes with his back and made a move to go and say hello. Next minute, they're both talking French, even though he's Spanish, and I was standing there like a shag on a rock. In fact, there's a photo that
we'll put it up.
And you could drive a truck through the space between Miguel and me, and he
Sarah,
and Lee's are like
no
long-lost relatives.
Well, Sarah, he and I are really, like, you know, huggy in the photo, and Sarah's just standing there just as cold as ice.
I can't understand what he says.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because he's so happy. He was just yelling things about Vegemite and laughing last night, and I was there for the ride. No, I love it. I love dancing.
Let's take up ballroom dancing.
Well, it's going back in time for me because I did.
Oh, God.
I'm going to wear diamantes in my fringe again just
in. Oh, that's wrong.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Have a great weekend. See you tomorrow.
No, you need to give the people more than what they
want. No, well, he said.
For some strange reason, they want more from us. It's like taking blood out of a stone. When you've checked out and said have a good weekend on a Tuesday morning at 6 a.m.
Listen, I've got very important things to go to.
Pilates.
No, I mean this weekend. That's why because in my head I'm looking forward to it. It's Dane's birthday. A. I've got a 40th. B.
You're doing it in the wrong order.
C.
You wouldn't have been very good on tests in high school, would you?
D. A wedding. All in all in one weekend.
Well,
Sarah.
You better come with some good stories next week because I've got.
What
nothing.
Are you doing this weekend?
Laundry.
It's hard carrying the weight of content for this show just because I have a social life.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Can we rent space out in your shed? How much room is there?
I killed my first gecko the other day.
I can't believe you did that.
It wasn't one of the native Australian ones, was it?
Why don't you catch it and put it outside?
I couldn't. I feel like there's been a mother gecko who's birthed in my house and there are baby geckos everywhere and they eat through the cords.
Do they or have
you
just
heard?
Don't, Sarah.
They
just release them in the wild.
I couldn't get it.
No, you didn't
so
even
you
try.
Yeah, I felt terrible because I really like geckos. Growing up in New Guinea, I used to say goodnight to them going up the wall.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they'd be like, oh. And I'd be like, good night, Benny.
No one cares.
That's Aaron.
They also sound like baby crocodiles.
I care, but now you've killed one of Benny's ancestors.
I feel like that has to be some kind of bad luck thing,
It is bad luck. It's terrible luck. Ugh. I'm going to look that up, actually. Killing a gecko.
It's really interesting.
Is killing a gecko bad luck? Here we go. Symbolism. Holy. Oh, my God. Lizards and geckos, lizards and mostly house geckos are good luck symbols.
Yeah, that's
it is extremely unlucky to kill a house gecko.
Whoops.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
Oh, I think it does sound like you did. You did brag about it.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't a brag. It was a guilt. All right, well, maybe you guys could look this up for yourself to hear what Lise is making noises about. All right, have a good day.
Well, you're going to need to pray to the gecko gods that you're going to have a good day because it's not looking good.
Yeah, I think his name was Gordon.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.